Sunday passed. My family and I went to, we started out to Florida. We spent 2 days in Savannah, spent some time in St. Augustine, Florida. Then we had to do Legoland. The kids have been watching these commercials about Legoland, so that was a big deal. It's not that bad, actually. It's okay. It's okay. And then we went on to Ralph's house just north of Tampa. And it was a great trip. And, you know, when you go to Florida, Florida's a little different than East Tennessee. Florida, you got a lot of stuff there that you don't necessarily see to the degree you see in East Tennessee. Four or five things. There are billboards every half mile with lawyers on them. And apparently they like to sue each other. Winters and Yonkers is doing bang-up business around Tampa. I don't know. I would think that a lawyer whose last name was Yonker would be behind the race there, but Yonkers is doing well in Florida. And then you've got the water, and then you've got lots of old people. Generally in the left lane. Some of them are on the side in their wheelchairs that go very fast in Florida. The wheelchairs go very fast in Florida. Lots of old people with tattoos. Didn't expect that. And there's a little poem that goes something like, the butterfly on your back will turn into the buzzard in your nether regions. It doesn't exactly rhyme. But you'll find that's true in Florida. Of course, there's sand. And there's palm trees. Palm trees. The funny thing about the palm tree is that, it's a biblical tree. It's in the Bible over 40 times. We're going to look at one of the verses. But if you look closely, the palm tree in Florida, now, you have some that are planted in very scenic places, but where I was, most of the time you see a palm tree, it wasn't in a place that was actually that nice, but the palm tree made it seem nice. We went down to Honeymoon Beach, Honeymoon Island, and it was Monday. I said, let's go to the beach. It won't be crowded. I forgot it was Memorial Day. So anyway, it dawns on me before we get there, and so it's like, well, we're not going to Clearwater, because I preach against men going to places like Clearwater on Labor Day or Memorial Day. That ain't no place for a sanctified person. And so they said, well, Honeymoon Beach, that's sort of deserted. Well, we go up there, and it's not deserted. People everywhere, and it's like, well, I can't go out here. I won't be able to not sin if I go out here. So, some of you guys, San Francisco, you all can do that and not sin, but I can't do that and not sin. And so, but then there was a place down near the end of the beach, and it said the Dog Beach. Oh, well, first of all, it's about a third of a mile walk. That's going to rule out a lot of people right there. And then you got the dogs. So let's go to the Dog Beach. Maybe it'll be less crowded. And you walk down this path, and there's these palm trees, and it's beautiful if you look like 4 feet up. But then you look down around the palm trees, and it's sand mixed with dirt, and it's weeds, and it's some briars and thorns. It's just an awful place, but the palm tree makes it look really beautiful. And I got to thinking about that verse that we're going to read. It said, the righteous flourish like palm trees. The righteous shall flourish like palm trees. And to me, I got that picture in my mind of this great, beautiful tree there right in the middle of messiness. But it's flourishing. It's beautiful. It's in the middle of a mess, but it's doing okay. And I think that's what David's getting at. And I think that psalm was probably written by David. It doesn't say, but I think so. But in the Near East, you didn't have many trees. And the trees you had were generally scraggly trees. It was sort of a barren desert kind of place for the most part. Once you got away from the Jordan River. But there in the desert, you would see the great palm trees, and they could grow sometimes 70, 80 feet high. And I think that David, again, is thinking that. I'm walking down the path to the dog beach looking at all the junk, but then here's this beautiful tree growing in the nasty. I think he's maybe looking out in the desert, and it's like, it's not that pretty, it's not that good, but boom, there's a palm tree, and in the middle of the desert, there's an oasis there with the palm tree. And so the palm tree is that thing that is beautiful in the middle of nasty. You think about the palm tree. I mean, how are we like the palm tree? How are we able to be beautiful in the middle of the nasty? Well, one of the things about the palm tree is that it's upright. In fact, Jeremiah 10:5 says the upright are like palm trees. And the palm tree, among other trees, grows straighter than most. It just goes up. It's upright. And it's a symbol, it's a natural symbol of righteousness. In fact, they took the palm trees and they put them in the temple because they were symbolic of what it meant to be a righteous individual. It's straight. It's upright. It's not crooked. It's not bent. It's formed correctly. And there's a way, I think, then, that you and I are called to be righteous. And in that righteousness, we're like palm trees. We're straight. We're upright. Now, in the church today, righteousness isn't talked about positively in a lot of places. In fact, I think the most quoted verse in the Bible that has to do with righteousness is probably Romans chapter 3, verse 12, which says, there is none righteous. Understand a couple of things. First of all, Paul is talking about the life of a person who's living in rebellion against Christ in that verse. And a person who's living in rebellion against Christ certainly isn't righteous. It's also true that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's only one that was sinless, which was Jesus Christ. But having said that, it's also true that, as I understand the issue of righteousness, righteousness isn't necessarily talking about moral perfection entirely. I mean, if righteousness was to be completely without any flaw at all, then there would be none righteous before or after Christ. We're all growing. We're going from glory to glory. He's not finished with us yet. We are not yet what we will be. And the reason we're not yet what we will be is because what we are is not entirely, completely, flawlessly perfect yet. But the force of the word righteous is not necessarily talking about complete, total moral perfection. It's talking about a heart, a person who has a heart that wants to go the right way and do the right thing. Psalm 23, the Bible says that the great shepherd leads his sheep in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And the paths of righteousness were simply the right paths. In the Near East, again, there were many paths that were across the terrain. Some were made by travelers, and they were well-worn paths, and they were well-known paths. Others were named by animals, and those were paths that were pretty clear to distinguish. But there were other paths that were made by thieves that were along the right paths, and they led to places that would be easy to ambush shepherds and rob them of their sheep and also rob them of their gold. And so the shepherd, the Bible says, leads us in the right paths, the paths that don't go to destruction, the paths that are not made by that one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's still making paths today. He's still leading us in a direction that we think is correct. But righteous people are people that choose the right paths. And the palm tree is straight. It's not crooked. And the people that blossom, that flourish like palm trees, are straight. They're not crooked. They're righteous people. They're people that have a heart to go the right way and to do the right thing. It's in their being to go in the right direction. And sometimes they don't always succeed like they would have hoped, but it's in their heart to do the right thing. They're not crooked. They're trying to live right in the middle of the nasty, in the middle of the wrong. By God's help, they're making right decisions. They're taking their Bible as the rule book of their life. There's a great old movie that I like anyway, and it's got a sheriff in it, and he's out of town, and a group of guys come in and they shoot up the town and they kill an old man. And then he gets back and finds out about the murder, and he has to find them, and he finds them in their town. They were passing through. And a lot of them were affluent people. And they were just shooting up the town and accidentally shot the man. But the sheriff's come to bring them to justice anyway. And the wealthiest man who was part of the shooting party, so to speak, goes to his friend who knows that sheriff and says, "How much do you think it's going to cost to buy him off?" And his friend looks at him and says, "Listen, that man can't be bought off. There are some people in life that just move in a straight line. And righteous people move in a straight line. They're like the palm tree. They go straight up. When they see what's right, when they have a word from the Lord, they can't be bribed. They can't be bought. They can't be threatened. They can't be taken off the path of righteousness. They know what God wants. It's clear to them, and nothing's going to keep them from walking in a straight line." There are a lot of crooked people. There are a lot of crooked people even in the church. Their heart isn't right. They're not righteous. There's crookedness deep inside of them. We were at the outlet centers in Asheville Friday. And my wife and the two older girls are shopping at Dillard's. And to buy her time, I say, "I'll take the two younger ones and we'll just walk around the outlet center." And we went into this store and they were playing on the speakers, "Oops, I did it again. I played with your heart. I made you believe. Oh, baby, baby." Who sings that song, by the way? Yeah, you bunch of heathens. A saved person wouldn't know who sang that song, but not everybody is what they should be yet. And so Sam is walking behind me, and he starts singing, "Oops, I did it again. Oops, I did it." And he's just repeating that phrase, "Oops, I did it again." And then he started to laugh, and he changed the song. And he said, "Oops, I'm going to do it again. Oops." Now see, there are people, and they like to say, "I slipped. Oops, I did it again." No. Oops, you went there planning to do it before you got there. Oops, I'm going to do it again. That's your song. You wouldn't have gone to that party if you were a righteous person because you knew what was going to happen when you got there. You didn't go to that place. You say, "Well, I slipped." No, you went to a party in that dress. No, you didn't slip. No, you meant to do that. You dated that girl. How can you say, "Oh, I meant to do what's right"? No, you didn't mean to do what's right. You keep getting on the same sites at the same time. You keep getting on the computer when your wife's in bed. No, you didn't slip. You meant to do it. You're not a righteous person. You are a crooked person. There's a bent inside of you that hadn't been straightened out yet in your life. You don't choose the right paths. Your heart doesn't desire and discern and crave the right paths. The Bible says those who flourish like palm trees, they're righteous. One of the things that happened in the Church of God, and if you're Facebook friends with me, you know I'm going nuts about this. But a few of the ministers in the north, it'd have to be up north. It wouldn't happen down here in the south. But it had to be. No, I'm joking. Half of you are from the north now. It's off the north. But a few of them, see, if you're a Church of God minister, you have to sign a document saying that you will support and teach the biblical view on homosexuality and gender and marriage and all that. Well, a lot of them, not a lot, there's just a few of them got together and they started Church of God Affirm. And they said, we're not going to do that anymore. How hard is it to get preachers to do what they signed a document that said they would do? If you sign it and you don't do it, that's called lying. And so I am frustrated, and a lot of people are frustrated, and there's this massive just anger inside of me because you got preachers who are openly lying. They said they wouldn't do it, and they're doing it. That's a lie. Amen. It's not righteous. You're walking a crooked path. They need to repent and return. Righteous people are people who choose the right paths. They are not influenced off the right paths. They can't be bought. They can't be bribed. They can't be intimidated. If the culture goes that way, no, they're going the right paths. Those are righteous people, and you and I are called to righteousness. Amen. Palm tree, again, is upright, straight. Something else about the palm tree, and that is that it is uniquely rooted. The palm tree is a bit spongy, and the roots don't go very deep, I understand, but they go really wide, sometimes 50 feet wide, I understand. I'm not a scientist, but I have a computer. They go about 50 feet wide. And the roots, I understand, look like spaghetti. Sometimes if they're near another palm tree, the roots sort of intertwine and they draw strength from each other. Because it's a bit spongy and because the roots go so wide, the palm tree is not like an East Tennessee pine tree. The palm tree can bend 40 to 50 degrees. So that's 90 degrees. It can bend about right there. And then when the wind stops, it goes back up. It has the ability, because of its unique rooting system, to take great wind and to take great difficulties. In fact, it can be in the desert because the roots go so far out that it can grab a little water here and a little water here and a little water here and a little water here. It doesn't go straight down. And the way it's able to survive is because it's so widely rooted that it can catch nourishment somewhere. It's spread out very widely. And righteous people are like that. The palm tree is rooted in the ground, and it's uniquely rooted, and believers in Christ are rooted in God. And it is that rooting system that allows us to sustain difficult times. I mean, it's our faith, it's our hope in God that allows us to endure. We do believe all things work together for good, that those who believe in Him and who trust in Him and are called according to His purposes. We do have resources like divine favor and divine love. There are things that we believe that root us so that we can stand in the midst of great storms. Jesus said, if you build on His teachings, again, that's righteousness. You obey the teachings of Jesus, you go the right path. That's righteousness. If you build on those teachings, the storms come, the rains fall, but your house would not be destroyed and will not be destroyed. We have people here. Jim, Janice, good to see you. Gruesome motorcycle wreck. I mean, they were minutes from dying. And it's a long road to recovery. I mean, you want to talk about a storm. You want to talk about a tree bending. That's them. They got back to church as quick as they could. It's like they've bent, but they're coming back up, see. Their faith is keeping them. Their faith will keep you. Your faith will keep you. Matthew Pyatt is here, and his dad is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. I mean, that's a storm. It feels like the tree's leaning. It feels like the wind is blowing. But it won't break. It won't break. His dad knows the Lord. He knows the Lord. They're righteous people. It's not going to break. Their faith will hold them. They'll bounce back. They'll be there. And Matt, you know, is going to have some difficult days, but he's not going to break. He's like a palm tree. Some of you have lost loved ones. I saw Geraldine Pierce said that it's been a year since Jim died, I think today. I saw another anniversary, I think, on Facebook this morning. What do you do when life can be like that? Well, if you're rooted in the right thing, you bend but you don't break. You rely on your faith. You put your trust in God. You're rooted in a firm foundation. Then the Bible says, I think, or would imply that if you're a palm tree, you're upright, you're well rooted, but you're also generously fruited. I know that's not a word. Don't try to use it in Scrabble. It won't work. But you get it. Rooted and fruited. The palm tree is one of the most fruitful trees that exist. Early on, they say 5 to 7 years, it may produce 20 pounds of fruit a year. But it gets into the middle years, it'll produce 200 pounds of fruit. And the great thing about a palm tree is that it produces fruit well into its aged years. And it produces fruit year-round. So it doesn't matter what month you show up at the palm tree, it will produce fruit. It will give you fruit. And isn't that a picture of believers? What fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, all of that. And fruit for other people as well. There's a way in which the righteous are like palm trees, and that we're always producing something. There's always something good coming out of us. A righteous person is always changing their world for the better. Righteous flourish like palm trees. And I love that word flourish. And I'm finished here. I love that word flourished. In the Hebrew, it's para. It's a word that means to bloom, spread out. It's also used to talk about birds spreading their wings, you know. Jeremiah talks about, and I think Jeremiah 17, how the tree that's planted by the water just spreads out. It gives its fruit in season. Isaiah will talk about how those who wait on the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. They spread out. They blossom. They bloom. They soar. The righteous flourish, the Bible says. They flourish. That's what I want in my life. Man, that's a powerful, powerful word, concept. Isaiah 54 talks about the woman who, although she's barren, she'll flourish. She'll extend her tent stakes. She'll flourish. Even in the barren, she'll flourish. Think of Abraham there in Genesis chapter 13, Abraham and Lot come to a dividing point. Their flocks have grown and their men are fighting. And they say, or Abraham says to Lot, listen, we've got too much. We're going to have to split up. Our guys aren't getting along. You choose where you want to go and then I'll take what's left. Lot looks down in the valley along the plains of the Jordan River and sees the fertile places there. And he says, I'll go there. Abraham says, all right, then I'll go over there. And it says that he goes to Canaan, to a place called Mamre. Mamre means fat in the Hebrew language. And that was true. I don't know if it was fat when Abraham got there, but Lot took the best. Abraham took what was left. But when he got there, it was fat. Maybe he even got a little big, but he prospered there in a place that Lot looked at and didn't want. You can prosper in the nasty places. You can prosper in the desert places. I can prosper in the places nobody else wants if I'll choose the right path. Got to choose the right path. I've got to be rooted in Christ, and I have to be willing to allow Him to produce fruit in my life. Maybe today you're here and you're young. You can stand with me. It's always an encouragement to stop when you're standing there. Maybe you're young today and, man, you're in a nasty place. Man, there's just a lot of nasty, you know. I mean, that's rough to have to endure a divorce with your parents. You know what? Be righteous. Do the right thing. You got a mother and a father. Do your best to honor both of them. I know that's hard to do, but do the right thing. Make up your mind. I'm not going to do what my anger wants to do. I'm not going to do the thing that feels good in the moment. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to be righteous as I can. And I'm going to root my life in Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to worship. And I just believe if I'll root in Christ, I may bend, but I won't break. I'll be back. The Lord will help me. I'm going to produce fruit. I'm going to try to make the place a little better. I know everybody's fighting and it's nasty and there are words being said and there are texts being sent, but I'm going to try, if the Lord will help me, to bear a little good fruit here. I'm going to try to spread a little love, joy, and peace in this place. That's all you can do. If you're older, you may be in a place that feels barren to you. I mean, maybe your family used to be a forest, but now there's just a couple of you left. That's you. It feels like a desert place. You know what? Be righteous. Do what's right. Don't quit coming to church because that's not the right road. Keep coming. Be righteous. Keep putting your trust in Jesus Christ. Stay rooted in Christ. Lean on Him. Lean on your faith. And say, you know, a lot of days I don't feel like it, but in the middle of the nastiness, in the middle of the barrenness, Lord, help me to be fruitful. Help me to help others who are going through what I've been through. Help me to spread love, joy, peace. Help me to build others up in faith. It's all you can do where you're at. It's all you can do. Some of you are in places where maybe loved ones have recently passed, or if the Lord doesn't move, they may not have a lot of time. You say, what am I going to do? What should I do when the person I love most may not have long to live? Well, be righteous. Do the right thing. Trust God. Pray for them. That's the right thing. Pray for them. If there's issues that need to be resolved, resolve those issues. That's the right thing. If you need to ask for forgiveness, if you need to forgive, do that. That's the right thing. That's the righteous thing to do. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. Worship, spend time with Him, pray, root, spread out in Christ Jesus. It's the root that's going to hold you in this storm. And then bear fruit in the midst of it. When my dad was sick, he told me once, he said, you don't know how much your sermons mean to me because they encourage me when I listen to you. And I think maybe he was being nice, maybe he wasn't, but it made me feel good anyway that I could bear a little fruit, that I could be an encouragement, that I could be a help. that he could strengthen my faith and maybe I could strengthen his faith, that I could be fruitful in that moment. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. But the Bible says when we do that, we can flourish. We can flourish. It still might be a desert, but we can flourish. It still might be nasty, but we can flourish. Everyone around us might be throwing stones, but somehow we can stand in the midst of that, choosing the right path, putting our trust in Jesus, saying, Lord, make me a blessing. I want to be fruitful. Bring fruit out of my life in this. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. The righteous flourish like palm trees. Like palm trees. Not East Tennessee pines, like palm trees. Amen.